Station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
I may see you.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to come on my show.
No, listen, don't
two
say
you
that.
Too busy.
I met
two of y'all busy. Two of y'all busy.
Hello,
y'all.
I met God for the first time in what, 3 weeks?
Okay.
3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, listen, you see, coming into the studio, God, we already on the air. I tell you, Pat, didn't I
tell you,
Britney's do me? Literally?
No
one. The show done start?
Yes, I told you the intro was on, you know.
Boy, I tell you. Anyway, hi there, Stanya Davis here from Tell It to Stanya. That's right, I am she and she is me. So Brittany started the show already, so we're ready in high gear. In studio with me, I am here with the man Stem. That's right, I am here with the man Stem. So I have Garth, listen, Roseboro, how you want us to pronounce this?
Because I don't know if you want to introduce Pat first. But
no, I want to introduce you first.
Oh, you call me whatever
you're calling. My guardian brother.
Oh, that is true.
Yes.
How you doing, Stanya?
I'm good. And of course, we have Patrick Terrence Robinson.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to have you guys here. I feel privileged, I ain't gonna lie. I feel very important.
Really?
Today. Yes, I do.
I know, buddy, what?
You somebody.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, hello.
I'll receive that.
So today now, we're taking a turn. You know, a lot of times I go with, and I probably could put some sappiness in the air because that's just me. But we're going to be talking about things that Bahamians are concerned about and also things that Bahamians are proud of. Of course, independence is next week. Happy birthday to my one and only good, decent daughter who was born on Independence Day. That's right. I was lay up in the hospital. Garth, why are you looking like that?
I know you had children on Independence, too.
Yeah, man. And that was my Grammy birthday, too.
Yeah,
July 10th. So anyway, I thought it would be a good show or a good idea to find out exactly what is on the minds of Bahamians. So let's get right into it. Seven things. What y'all think on this list? Garth, you want to go?
Yeah, let God go first.
What list? You
on
made
the list?
The seven things.
Seven things that Bahamians are concerned about.
List them then. Let me hear them.
Okay, here we go.
The crime rate.
The first one. Brittany, do we have a random citizen in studio? She's on? Okay, she's on? Okay, and you know, I have another guest. Her name is Random Citizen. I thought it would be good. You think I was going to be in here with only the man, Sammy?
That ain't a bad idea.
I mean, it sounds good.
Men been fighting for more than one wife a long time. I don't know about a woman can't fight for more than one husband.
I can't settle with that one.
That's a lot of discussion. But
yeah, y'all can't deal with that. Okay, all right. Random Citizen, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good stuff. There's some feedback. I don't know if you need to turn something down or something like that. So let's just get into it. All right, so number seven on the list. Here we go. Where are we? Actually, I only got five here, and then I have a whole lot of other things. Now, this was very interesting to me. I thought that this would have been higher on the list, but it was crime. Now, I surveyed, I asked about 50 people, for their responses, and this is what was the fifth thing that persons would have been interested in. Caller, and in particular, interested, or they thought that they were concerned with white collar crime. Why are you looking like that?
Who interested in white collar crime?
Bahamians are interested in, some people commented, they said white collar crime. They talked about violence, but you see, that's a crime that y'all don't like talk about. People stealing and swinging and doing all kind of things. We talk about the other type of crime.
What's something current that was white collar?
Listen, don't ask me. I say this
was that's what I'm trying to say.
I need something to feed off of.
Well, said
you need nothing to feed off. We just need to know if it truly exists in the minds of Bahamian people. That's not something that people talk about.
Well, that's what they said.
I don't think that's at the forefront.
Okay, well, that's what someone said. That was the fifth
white collar.
Yeah, they talked about crime. One or two persons in particular mentioned along the lines of white collar crime. Okay,
and then they got to call in and
explain themselves. Yeah, explain okay, themselves. Well, person, if you're listening, please call in. Okay, the fourth thing that persons are interested in or concerned about is the healthcare system.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
What do y'all think about that?
A sister who is a nurse in our healthcare system.
Right.
And basically listening to just, you know, I'm privy to certain things with just her being stressed out.
Right.
And yes, there is a lot of things that need to be done with the system, especially when it comes to the treatment of the nurses in general.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, the nurses basically are at the forefront of everything. And the nurses also, too, they have to basically deal with the stupidity and ignorance of our Bahamian populace.
Okay.
And, you know, and I say that with no apology, because it's like, you just have some people who feel as though nurses are just robots. Like, they're superhuman. But they're not. Well, when they come home and break down, they break.
That's another thing. Okay, I think we have a caller on the line now. I see somebody sent me a message on the text line. And listen, person who just messaged me. That one, of course, that's the number one. That is the number one concern. You can't wait till I get there. What happened to you? Okay, so go ahead.
Good evening. How are you guys doing in the studio?
Doing well. How are you?
Great. It's a great show. I mean, we need to have more shows about, you know, the concerns of Bahamian people in light of Independence Day coming. But is it too early to chime in about one of my primary concerns about
the country? Go on. What are your primary concerns?
One of my primary concerns, one of a few, is immigration. I know y'all get to that somehow.
Well, actually, that is exactly what the person said. They said the seven biggest concerns for Bahamian public is, and they have immigration seven times.
Immigration.
So we need to go there. Go on.
Just make it brief. I think what happens is because you have a lot of young people go to school and they get this culture. They tend to become leftist or liberal. So they assume or they say, when they come back here, they tend to say, oh, we are all one country, one people. So when Bahamians discuss about immigration, they tend to dismiss it and call you xenophobic. When you bring up the numerology of these countries that house millions of people versus the Bahamas with 500,000 people, give or take. And so when a Bahamian brings this up, they tend to dismiss it and say, oh, man, see, you guys are too xenophobic. What are you concerned about? Come on, you know. So, and I think we need to stop that, because most political parties tend to ignore the Bahamian people because they're trying to generate a new voting bloc. They're like how the liberals are in the United States when it comes to the Mexicans flowing over to the border.
Okay, well, hold on 1 minute, caller. Garth looked like he got something to say. Garth, what you got to say? Caller, don't hang up yet. Garth, what you got to say?
I'm listening to the response for medical and the medical condition at the hospital.
This is not a talking point. This is not a talking point. Continue.
Now call up. I gotta put you. You gotta call back or what?
No. I can listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening to the response of Pat, my new beekeeping friend. Excellent job, by the way.
Thank you.
And I'm listening to the caller. And the common denominator when dealing with the nation and the call for independence and us improving systems. And, you know, the health system is one system. The migration is another system in and of itself. Is the Bahamian themselves. The Bahamian, the individual Bahamian, the psyche that he possesses is, we know that the hospital is overwhelmed. We know that the hospital is under-equipped. We know that immigration is faulty. We know that there are holes that exist. But as a Bahamian, if I know my hospital system is burdened and my health system is being challenged. Why don't I eat healthy? You see, if I eat healthy and I take care of my health, if I govern myself, then there wouldn't be so many people in the hospital if that is what we're truly about in terms of improving as a nation. In terms of migration, I just want to show you what I'm saying. In terms of migration, it's only 400,000. There's only 400,000 of us here.
Wait, hold on one second. Caller, I'm going to disconnect you for a minute. You can call back in a few minutes.
Which is a very manageable number. It's the size of one of the corporate counties of Georgia. You know, I used to live in Georgia, and they had a population of 400,000 in their city that they managed privately. Okay? And so what I'm saying to you is that when it comes to migration situations, all of us may want to complain about the immigration coming into the country, Filipinos, Africans, etc. But now, when it comes time for us to become entrepreneurial, when it comes time for us to do the hard task, all of us want to have our own Haitian. I want a Haitian, but you mustn't have a Haitian, you see? I can let the Haitian cut my yard, but your Haitian ain't supposed to be here. You see, no. I'm just saying the truth.
Well, you need the proper permit.
But this is the truth. I'm talking about personal responsibility as a Bahamian. Until we become personally responsible, you see, because a Haitian can't come if there's no opportunity.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. The health system cannot perform if all of us are healthy.
Well, I think random citizen. Okay. You want to go ahead? I hear you in the background.
I agree with that because I myself have my own business in healthcare. The market is, it's an influx of Filipinos, and it's because they're cheap labor. They don't want to pay qualified persons for the job because they have cheap labor. But you cannot expect to pay a qualified person that paid for their degree a minimum wage.
Pennies, right.
Right.
You have schools that come in paying for minimum wage and
okay. And you know, okay, another thing that persons were concerned about that came up was the minimum wage or wages situation. And they said that it was definitely, they felt as though it was connected to immigration because when we're hiring foreign workers, and when we hire foreign workers, persons are able to pay them a lesser amount. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it keeps the wages lower than what you would have normally gotten if it was whatever job it was. Okay, Brittany, you have another caller on the line?
But okay, respond to you, Garth, right? So you said, why don't we eat healthy, right?
Healthier, yeah, just healthier.
So now, I remember when I was growing up, my mom, you could go in the food store and buy two trolley on $200. Mm-mm. You spend $200, now that's sitting in your front seat with you. So it's like to say that, why don't everybody eat healthy? It's not as easy, especially when it comes to what people are making.
Let me ask a question, Patrick, and to the hostess, Ms. Davis, yes, and to our friend on the phone.
We have another caller coming on.
In terms of the cost of living, which I agree, it is high. But even with the cost of living increase, we still could afford three beers. We still could afford packs of cigarettes. All these things are luxury items.
They keep my day out of
this. Look at the luxury items that Bahamian people afford themselves, because the truth be told is that as a people, we are luxury people.
Right.
We don't look at ourselves as being a poor nation, impoverished like Haiti and Dominican Republic and Barbados and those places. We look at ourselves being superior. Look at the type of clothes we wear. We got to wear swoosh on our feet. Why? Because
look how Patrick come in all his clothes.
What,
you know what
saying.
I mean? Patrick came in even the $20. Shoes he got on matching.
And this from 2 years ago.
That's expensive. You got
2 years
on.
Ago.
Let me, right. I'm gonna let you call it go. Okay, but understand what I'm saying to you is that we got to take some responsibility for ourselves as a nation 52 years and say, you know what? We're not comfortable where we are. We have some issues, but we got to learn to cut back ourselves in order to push ourselves forward.
Totally okay, agree. We have a caller on, but it looks like we got several callers. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tanya.
Good afternoon.
Thank you again.
Afternoon.
You know, this will be a show, and the thing about this thing is, for me, we meet so many meetings where they go over the issues and try to determine which is the number one issue. But our crew came up with immigration. If we can fix immigration, we would be able to fix everything.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Agreed.
Yeah. I have a very interesting clip to play.
You know, for example, the government just passed the budget. Is it a realistic budget if you don't know who all is in the country?
No.
We have to first do an inventory to see who all is in the country. So everything could be realistic. They're building a new hospital. Is that adequate for the amount of persons in the Bahamas? We don't know. Same thing with schools. They're building new schools. Would there be sufficient classroom space if we don't know who all are in the country?
Now, I'm going to tell you all this. Carla, thank you so much. Now, of course, I would have worked at the Ministry of Education for many years, over a decade. And I can tell you right now, first-hand information, when we went to do testing into the schools, there were some classes, 90% of the nationality.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Very, very high. Very high. Okay, Brittany, could you play the second clip from Pi? We'll call him Pi because he's a little cute. Go on.
What the hell? He never called him.
So, the immigration policy stands out to me as one of the primary concerns.
No, not that one.
I guess that's an umbrella.
Wait, hold on. Hold on 1 second.
I'm concerned about in my country, believe it or not, is the fact that there is no understanding of the detriment that is happening because people continue to take money underneath the table for foreigners, whether it be Haitians. We accept, we take the payment, and then just for to get so they could get straight and stuff like that. That right there, I am very concerned about how bad this is going to turn in years to come. Of course, like there's no justice with the police force, and some of our political leaders, there's no repercussion for some of the things that they do, and it's not fair. I think it's supposed to be fair straight across the board. Okay. Sorry, while we may not be able to police every situation, but there are some things that end up in the public eye light. I think when that it's like that, it needs to be addressed, and there needs to be some repercussions.
You could cut that one. That's not the one I wanted to play. But okay, I see we have another caller on the line. All right, caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Garth, I warn you, you got to be careful. The mic is always open, even when you're not there. Be careful, God. But let me be quick about this.
Good to hear from you.
Sorry?
It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. I love Tanya and her shows. But listen up now. We could blame the immigrants in the whole nine yards, but I feel as though the number one crime is crime against children. You damage a child. My mom used to have a preschool, and I see it. Once you damage a child, you damage the future of the country. And I think that's the number one. Number two would be the political system, the politicians. Because if they were brought up with the kind of brought up CIA had, this country would have been the better place.
Okay.
So don't blame the immigrants, because it's you who allowed them in.
Okay.
Trying to use them. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, interesting points for starters. I think it was last week. Was it last week? I think it was last week. I partnered with someone, and we were doing a session with young people in the community. And honestly, hearing from the young people, so many trauma, so many things that they're concerned about, so many things that they have been experiencing. As a matter of fact, another thing that persons were concerned about was how traumatized we are as Bahamians. They said that you can see it even in our driving on the road. Everybody seemed pissed off and mad. I'm serious. Everybody seemed pissed off and mad. Okay, Brittany, did you get the second one? I'll play that.
No, because that could... That. So the immigration policy stands out to me as one of the primary concerns. And I guess that's an umbrella, because we could look at many different avenues as to how that impacts us as Bahamians. One, we're looking at the amount of housing and land that we're able to secure as Bahamians. And we're looking at the employment, how migrants impact the employability of Bahamians. How they come in and they are able to get land, especially ground land. So I think immigration is a big concern for Bahamians. That the educational system, the strain that it puts on the educational system, and also the healthcare system, how that impacts Bahamians.
Okay, Brittany, you could cut it there for right now.
So with pertaining, like Garth had said something about immigration when we talk about our Haitians, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that is, right, and what people don't do, I mean, I do it. We hire these people to work in our yards, right? And we never even ask them once, do you have a permit? Do you have a work permit, right? And then on top of that, too, what a lot of people don't realize and understand is if you go ahead and take out a permit for a foreigner to work for you,
mm-hmm.
that person should not be working for me. So you have some of these foreign nationals who come in
mm-hmm.
and they make their money under the table to pay for their own permit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even though you sign that person,
mm-hmm.
here it is, they're still out and about and they're working for other people. That shouldn't be. But because of the fact that we want cheap labor,
mm-hmm.
we ignore all of that and say, okay, you know what? Ain't nobody gonna know. Come, I need you to clean my yard. How much? $100?
Okay, and we saying clean, yeah, but they're doing other jobs too.
No, but I mean, just using that as the
right.
as the prime example because that's the more common one.
That was the entry point.
That's the entry point.
Okay, so could it be then? Because you know that I'm really younger. that more than one thing can be right. Two things can be right at the same time. So one aspect or one thing is that, okay, there's a personal accountability that we all have to, that we're all responsible for. I mean, y'all just literally mashed my coin. I mean, there was somebody who messaged me. I was just trying to pull it up. And, you know, when she asked me, hey, do you have any jobs? Sometimes I help people find jobs.
Right.
And so the first thing I said to her, I said, okay, well, for someone else, she right. was asking. So I said, do they have papers? Are they legally here? So mm-hmm. I did ask that. But of course, she said yes, and she even showed me the stuff. But then at the same time, like you just mentioned, clearly I wasn't responsible for bringing her here or signing off on her documentation. So I totally agree that one, we do have a personal responsibility that we all should be aware of. You know, whether or not you're aiding and abetting, you're finding jobs, whatever it is. At the same time, that is true, but on the other end of the spectrum too, so we know where to find people, and we ain't only talking about one nationality, okay? Because see, we like to zoom in on this one nationality, and I mean other nationalities. I mean, listen, they own all the store, all the rum store. They own all kind of things. We don't complain about these other people, but okay, we know where to find the people. We know. We also know when we dig deeper and we go to, okay, the nationality that we like to zoom in on, we know that the land that these people are on, for the most part, are Bahamian landowners. And it's not even an everyday Bahamian. And, you know, allegedly, let me say allegedly, I ain't got no money, there's no one to sue me, no one. Wait, no, I'll take that back, you guys. Speaking of, I got plenty of money. But allegedly, persons who own the land, man, they high up. See, these are people. I remember a close friend when I asked him, I said, well, how does things work? And he said, well, I pay $5,000 a year. Right? So I say $5,000 inside this community. I say, it got to be about 300 of them in this community. You know, I like pull out my little calculator. Says me, it got to be at least
that's
for
15 grand right there.
What 15 grand? I say 300. Oh. I say, got to be but 300 of them would live there.
And 5,000?
And I say, times 5,000. No, $1,000 easy. And I sure it was more than 300 people there. So we can't just, okay, so one part of it is, yes.
And the island only 21 by 7.
The personal responsibility that we all have, that we lack. That's one. But we also have, This been also been an issue from Loftus Roker time.
Mm-hmm.
This been, and so we can't even throw one government underneath the bus. We got to throw all the government, and okay. We got to throw all ourselves yeah. under the bus as well. So we all have contributed to this issue.
She wants to speak.
Yeah. Random citizen, yes, go ahead.
Okay, so to piggyback of what you're saying, with our accountability as Bahamians, the due process of bringing in a person for work permits is based on the fact of a void, filling a void that you cannot find a Bahamian to do what you need to be done. So clearly the due process is not being done.
Right.
Because you advertise that position for Bahamians to fill. If a Bahamian is not qualified to fill that position, you then sanction to have to bring in somebody to now fill that position because you cannot find a Bahamian. That process is no longer being done.
No, and random citizen, let me listen. Another company, listen, all us know these things. Another company, someone left. They're looking to fill this certain position. The people in this area, I've worked with these people. The people in the area are with and they have the experience. Yeah. But they chose to bring in someone from abroad. And you know what? And when they bring people from abroad, they put them in one nice big house.
Exactly.
Give them phone, car, all kind of privileges. You know what I'm talking about. So that's what I'm saying. This is a problem. This is a problem from the as a person, as a citizen level, as well, straight on up. All of us are responsible. Okay. But definitely, when we look at immigration, we look, this is affecting almost every area. And honestly, I think that, you know what, it's okay to let some in. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. I ain't got no problem. Every country was built that way. I mean, let's face it. Every country was pretty much built that way.
Here's your issue. Systemically, my parents have land in Cat Island, land in San Salvador, property in New Providence, plenty land in Miguano. Ask us, what are we doing with that land?
Nothing.
But yet you want to apply to the government for crown land because you figure the Haitian on the crown land, so you want that now. To do what with it?
See, here's the thing with that.
Okay, big guys, before you all answer that, this caller been on the line for a little while. Brittany, let them through. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon to Daniel and God.
Yeah, in fact.
Yeah, you know, God, there was a caller, I think initially, he used the word, he said numerology, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I don't really think, I've never really heard a holistic approach to this. Like Stanley said, we concentrate on Haitian migrant. I'm 61 in August, right?
Wow.
So I know about Haitians, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you said my Haitian, I mean, some people think like that, God, but, you know, I have Haitian friends from way back then. So I've never thought like that. I've never had a Haitian.
Right.
And so I had a Jamaican guy, came in a skilled labor, upholstery, as a family business. And the process is just like how Stanley said, you have to pay for them. And then they would come in and they would work for you and they would be designed to work just for what you brought them in for.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's a handyman, then, you know, I guess even though that may sound simple, a lot of people mightn't be willing to be handyman because we saw in the papers where we'll see handyman $100 a week, $50 a week back in the days.
Right.
So, of course, it's exploitation. But people are not looking at this logically. At the bonification, poor people will catch the most hell. So then if you create competition amongst poor people, then you create chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it relates to migration, we love these people so much they're overwhelming us now. So, but I don't know who's to blame. I ain't to blame because I can show you now why, Daniel. When drugs come in, it's illegal, right? And then the police will come to somebody else and say, you expect to have been drugs and firearms and rah. So it's the same thing with migrants. So if you're going to talk about crime and you're not talking about immigration, versus you don't know who you have in your country, and then also numerology, and we are not also addressing it from a national security standpoint, but the sporadic settlements that they're creating throughout the chain of islands.
Right.
So I'm looking at it holistically, and so the one I saw you replay sort of the repercussions of it. So, you know, the xenophobic narrative is played out. I mean, it's just give me a break here, but I didn't want to talk about that too much because really and truly, I've never heard anybody approach it from that standpoint. They just look at it over the Haitian, but the Haitian is the ones with the squatting on the line, and you got to talk about the family line, but they're supposed to be monetizing it, right, God? Or finding a way to monetize it for Bahamian families, right? I heard some narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody, I have a generation family, but you know, your auntie them and everybody, they can teach that time as they realize what's going on. Anyhow, they believe your grandma them and tell you what's going on when it comes to these general property. You have a lot of problems now in the family. This one guy, 70 feet up, this one piece of property, this one guy. All about it, Sumo, Cat Island, same, may I bless up. You know what I mean, God? But let's monetize this then.
Okay.
Like farming, like you say, God, you know, the social engineering project from humanity started is that as time move on, the comforts of life, the hedonism, like God say, we don't want to farm, but I want to share this misconception about eating healthy. And I'm alluding to what God, I eat healthy, and God pointed to the way to avoid this problem. But then, don't think that eating healthy is expensive, Tanya. Because you have native foods here now. You have foods and things you pass in every day that you eat that high in micronutrients and phytonutrients, et cetera, et cetera. But you want to eat a macro diet three meals a week. I mean, a day, dog food for lunch. I mean, for breakfast, dog food for lunch and dog food for dinner. Cook food. You're rotting out yourself. You're drinking rum. They're surrounding us with gambling houses and liquor stores. And then now I see a notification the other day about how much percentage of young youths are on rum and all these different things. But you, what I'm saying is it's predisposition. If a person walks past a liquor store every day, if a person walks past a candy store every day, you see the predisposition, right, God?
Yes, sir.
They're exposed to it.
That's right.
So don't be why are you surprised about the level of alcoholic consumption, cigarette smoking, and weed smoking? Why this shouldn't surprise you?
Okay, thank you, caller.
Yeah.
A whole lot of valid points, and there was someone who had said that what they were concerned about was the proliferation of liquor stores in residential neighborhoods and the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of piggybacking off of what the caller said,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I mean. There's a personal responsibility that we all do have and that we do lack, I think, as a society as a whole. We do. We don't take responsibility. Even, you know, when we think about, okay, back to the workers, right? Working, doing recruitment for companies. Sometimes, oh my God, I mean, when persons show up, I mean, one, she had an interview and I had to say, hey, listen, let's meet up again when you comb your hair. She didn't even comb her hair. Or coming on the job and doing these things. And I know you, I mean, Pat looking at me like, are you talking foolish?
No, the reason I'm smiling, and I'm going to say this, I'm a very, I like to be presentable when I go places, right? And the other day, where I work, my son did an interview, right? And he came there in slippers, shorts, and shirt. And I was like, homeboy, where you going? You think just because I work here
that's
okay?
You know,
I said, have
is.
You ever seen me go into any professional establishment looking halfway?
Right.
I said, no, you need to fix yourself.
Right.
And I had, and the thing is, I had to go to human resources, and I was like, listen, I about ready to box
but
this
you
boy.
Know what? But that's another issue too, because now in person's defense as well, many of the young people, they don't know. I'm being serious. In many cases,
it's true.
They don't know. Their parents. You're a parent who would have known, who have experience, or who care, or whatever we want to go with, whatever narrative we want to go with. But there are many young people who do not know. In the same the thing that I was telling you guys about with the community, I was speaking with this young man there. So he said, "Okay, so Miss Davis, then that means we are a lost tribe. Nobody to tell us or whatever." So I say, "Listen, I say this is the intervention right here."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "What you mean, Miss Davis?" I say, "You see, are you at this program?" I said, "This is why community leaders are important." I said, "This is why." I say, "You see, Miss So and So here." I say, "This is your intervention now. This is how you're gonna get the information that you would not get at home."
So we could jump into that situation now that we was talking about earlier.
Which one?
The one with Lyndon Finland Vicks.
Go on, random citizen.
My question is, why is that something that was taken out of school? I know back in my day when I went in school, when I was in school, that was something we had a careers day where they took whatever we want to be.
You know why? You want to know why? Because if it makes sense, we wouldn't do it.
Correct. Very true.
Right.
Very true. But that's something that in schools, because like you said,
listen,
these children.
On. Random Simpson.
And we can blame them.
This is my shameless little plug. That's why, child, listen, I came up with a soft skills program called Own Your Tanks, which is an accountability and showing persons how to do this thing, how to do it. But we also have programs. Keep in mind, now we have National Training Agency. We have, where I worked. Oh, they're ready to kill me, but that's all right. Hi, Miss Marcel, love you. Okay. But, you know, we have programs where who take in kids, young people from age 16 to 21. We also have the Ministry of Youth. I can't remember the name of their program. So we do have programs, too, that allow young people. Right. This is right. We're looking at a youth empowerment right now. But as you're saying, random citizen in the school system itself. No, not that I know of. Now, I believe. Let me say this. I just remember this. The Ministry of Education is working on that with the pre-apprenticeship program and all that type of stuff. So I think, but it's not in the school. It's still a separate program, I guess. But, yeah.
If I may just draw down on the conversation for Independence 52. My generation, I was born in 1969.
What?
Right? And if you look at what I have been through in terms of my own existence, we just came out of the 67 victory. We went into the 73 independence conversation. We went into the 1992 of the Free National Movement becoming the government for the first time. So we had the UBP, went to the PLP, and then all of a sudden the FNM showed up. During all of this time, we watching Star Trek, and we watching how they had these what we now call cell phones today.
That's right.
We looking at it like, my God, that's something like way out in the future.
I'm looking to get beam up any minute now.
You see what I'm saying? Right.
Yes.
You looking at the flat screen TV on your TV.
It's a reality. And it curved now.
Yeah, you see? Right. You're looking at these things. You know, you're looking at the Lazy Boy chair with Captain Kirk lame. See, these things were all supposed to be fictional.
Right.
And in my short lifetime, I'm watching all of these things.
We live in science fiction.
Yeah, it's coming forth, right?
Okay.
And so the confusion for me is that I'm so busy trying to find who I am and what I am supposed to be that we have forgotten the children, the disconnect with the children. That's why the children cannot appreciate what we're even now trying to figure out, because we ourselves are just trying to figure it out. I'll prove it to you. 2002, we just came out of Y2K. We're trying to figure out, do we need to go back to reconnect to the past in order to bridge that gap, or do we need to move forward? How do you move forward with techno advancement? And we don't know behind the computer, the science behind crypto. It's too much science. And then all of us trying to figure out ourselves, the children and the grandchildren.
They lost.
We ain't got time for them right now because we're trying to figure this out ourselves. So this whole legacy, everyone say, you know what? But my mom and pa ain't give me nothing, but I need a piece of land. And if you ask the average child, what you want the land for? I can build one house. Okay, when you build a house, do you know what it means to maintain a house? Do you know this to pay a mortgage? You know this to pay rent, to pay light, to pay water? You got termite infestation, you got ants, you got pests, you got all of these things? Yeah.
That's right.
You got bills coming your way. You begging for bills. And Stanley, I know when you was around 12 or 13, because you look a little sassy. You said, boy, when I become a woman, I can be this, I can be that. But now that you're a woman, tell them the truth. Man, we got bills. We wish we go back to being 16. So nothing wrong with this whole equation.
Random citizen.
But our country has to now become more mature.
Okay. Right.
Random citizen.
I completely agree with you. But why are we negating just teaching them the basics?
Because
I get that they're trying to figure out the new norm. But at the same time, you cannot forget the basics. The basics of manners, the basics of dressing, the basics of being a behavior.
Those things are supposed to be taught at home.
Random citizen, listen, okay, we right back to this holistic approach,
yes.
Okay? And when I say the holistic approach,
go ahead.
We can't, okay, parents will, listen, to me, I like to say this, we don't have a children problem or young people, we got to pay.
Yep. Yes.
One part of it is that parents are not training their children. See, you got to train your child. That's
a
different.
That's
when
a
you
job.
Train, right?
That's
when
a
you're
job.
Training your child, you're training them with different things.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's one part of the problem. We ain't training them. Another part of it is that, yes, the school systems are also failing to a degree. Let me say that, to a degree, because they're not everybody failing. I know plenty of people are successful. But however, we also know that there are some people who are in our school system who they're not going to excel academically. And that's okay. That's okay.
Right.
Because we are all different and we all contribute. We all contribute to the whole. So, right. But if we have this information,
why are we forcing these children, frustrating these children to sit this retarded exam, this, that, do this, when some of them cannot even read or write, or we know that they are, they'll do well working with their hands. Why are we stressing them out with these? And we have the information. We know it's not working, yet we still doing the same thing, the same. We on this silly, ridiculous ABAC. I don't even know who come up with this. Like somebody gone away, learn here, but the ABAC system now, everybody with this ABAC.
You could identify a child's skill from very young.
You think so?
Different changes throughout life, right? And there's different interests that
random citizen. I want you to listen to these people attack me. Go ahead, I'm listening.
But at the same time,
get them pop.
You can see a child interest in something, and you can hone those skills.
Okay, so
but here's the thing though.
Uh-huh.
There might come a time where they'd be like, I don't know if I feel in this. I want to try something else.
God. This is back to the intervention I told you all about. This is why you should enroll your children. You see, when they got this little summer program, that's when you're supposed to
enroll. That's punishment.
Well, no.
No, man. No,
listen, my daughter loved summer programs.
You saw they fighting me?
Okay. This is when, not only that, you should be watching your child. You should be watching your child to determine what your child is interested in. And as parents or citizens, we don't do that. We say, well, I want him to be a doctor because we want a doctor in the family. Or we want a doctor. Whatever stupid foolishness we got going on.
When I was 11, I wanted to be a porn star.
Well, how that working out for you?
I mean, that's
good. You're porn star, you're starring.
That's what the hormones is telling me.
you see it, Uncle Jeff attacked the teacher.
But see, okay, random citizen, check this out. And I need to take the mic back, right? Watch this. As a child, my mother loved me. I couldn't touch the dirt on the ground. I went to Queens College.
Oh, you've been there.
My mother used to send a taxi for me, 35111, to pick me up from school while she walked from downtown Dunmore Lane all the way to Wolf Road, where you have JBR. My mother used to do that for me. Now, watch what I'm saying to you. I went to St. Thomas More. We talk about Christopher Columbus and all this other the Spaniards. Good. Got to grade 7, St. Augustine's College. Constantinople, Byzantine Empire. What the hell are you talking about? Where is it in the Bahamas? Oh, I showed you the disconnect. Then you come and then you talk about board mass. Board mass, what the hell is a board mass? And then you come and tell me about friggin' pi. And circumference.
None. None.
But listen though, my father is a doctorate in biology, an educator. My mother was a banker for Commonwealth Bank, Star Plaza. My brothers are all post-master's degree students. I'm double masters. How the hell I found myself? You see, because we cannot always allow other people to identify who we are. Sure. It goes back to self. The teacher can't see what I could become. Maybe my parents had a hint of it. But it comes back to me.
Yep.
But when do I get a wake-up moment? So, Stanley, I know you're a big proponent of this. If you know your child needs a positive environment, send them to church.
Yes.
Send them to Boy Scouts. Send them into positive environments so that they can find themselves. And you know what woke me up one day? I was on a basketball court. All my friends were dying in Bamboo Town from drug trafficking. Everyone gets shooting, killing. I said, what in the hell? I had to find God for myself. I said, God, you got to give me a brain to wake up so I can survive in this world. And all I'm simply saying is that I don't think no one teaches that in the school system.
Well, see, I'll tell you this. This was something that I did with my daughter and still do. And my daughter's going to be 20 on July 10th for the 10,000th time. Hello.
I'm July 14th.
July 16th.
Jesus, there's so much of that. okay, but this is something that I raised my daughter very different, very weird and crazy and strange. But this was something that I did with her. I think I said this on the show before. I would allow her to have sessions with different people on Zoom or face-to-face if I'm there. So, for example, I would people of different religious backgrounds, people who were who had very interesting beliefs, very interesting careers. I would allow her. She spoke with a police officer, speaking about what challenges do y'all have. She spoke with people who are farmers, different people. Someone who was on the show the other day, who's into climate change and all this stuff. And I messaged a young lady. I said, hey, remember, I wanted you to speak with my daughter. So this was something that I did with my... Why are you looking like that?
Well, you're different, Pat.
I give my kids the same freedom.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
And I allowed my daughter... Now, mind you, I would offer guidance. And even now... And I'll tell you this. As a child, if she came...
How old is she?
She's 19. She's going to be 20.
Okay.
And let me tell you, if... From 2 years old, I would take down two outfits, and I would say, okay, what outfit do you want to wear? And so she was, oh, for me, I want to wear this one. Now, mind you, I already picked the two anyhow. But in her little mind, she is making her own decision.
Right.
And I can tell you, my daughter stand on business.
Right. In fact, that's how she doing us now, you know. She done took out everything and got us talking. Hey, random citizen, she doing the same thing to us.
No, right. Listen, now, the thing about it now, these are some issues that we have. We touched on some of we touched the minimum wage just a little bit. We're talking about the kids, and of course there was something that happened recently where with the defacing of Lyndon Pendon, and you know, people, the younger generation was, oh, you know, y'all always complaining, y'all old, y'all ain't letting the boys live, da 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 da. Then and then older persons were like, oh no, you know, you have to be respectful, blah blah blah. But to me, there's a huge disconnect, as you mentioned earlier. We had Labor Day the other day. Mm-hmm. We had Labor Day. I guarantee you, the average young person, they do not know what Labor Day was about. And
they don't care.
Tell you,
that's a holiday for them.
And I go call out, and I'm going to call out. Y'all made it about
political.
Y'all made it. And I don't give a 5 cents who party the person was, who played an intricate role. Yes, but it was about the workforce. It was about the Bahamian people, and y'all was there dancing and doing all kind of shaking to the max and doing one big bunch of foolishness and made it political.
Okay.
Man, no. We got to use common sense. Mm-hmm. We talking about accountability, responsibility, self-awareness, but we don't even have it in our leaders.
Let me share something with y'all. And Pat, I don't want to hog the mic and random citizens.
Go on, man.
But she didn't touch my nerve now.
Yeah, go on.
As a theologian and a business major, I have to ask myself the one question: what is the strongest force outside of the Creator in the Bahamas? The strongest force in terms of bringing results to the people of the Bahamas. Is it church or is it politics? And if you find all the pastors are running after the politicians, then of course everything in this country becomes political, because guess what? It's through politics that people begin to eat. The churches out there on Carmichael Road, out there on Gladstone Road, ask them where they get the land from. I'm trying to show you something. Because see, we could run away from the truth all you want, but these people dancing. God. You see, and the truth is, to go against that is even political.
Listen.
It's the same way when you go to heaven, and you have Michael and the angel.
But there comes a time when there comes a time where we have to stop this and start to work towards making a change.
But who is
we? The people.
The controlling force outside of the Creator is the people.
So when the people to make that change. When the people are no longer political, tell me what happens.
Hi, hello, excuse me, this is your name. Tell it to Stanya.
Let me telling you now.
Random.
Let me telling you now.
Let me face Stanya.
The host of the show named Stanya Omika Davis. Hi, hello. After my daddy, Almond Stanya.
Praise God for him.
That's right, love him. Hi, daddy.
So Stanya, what is not political in this country?
Excuse me, random citizen, you had something to share?
Yeah, we're not saying that it's not political, you know. I have to agree with the fact that we just have to make a change. And we're not saying make a change negatively, but we're making a change politically.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
See, anyway.
But now we only got a couple of minutes, right?
As if it's a favorite basketball team or football team. No, you need to change. You have to now look at politics of how you're going to live. You vote for the person who comes with the best.
Let me guess. Hold on. You mean the lesser of two evils?
Okay. You see why I tell it to Stanya. I tell you all, I don't like talk with politics or religion.
But you don't want to talk about that.
And listen, and then, God, you done come up here. You think I want to get put into the... I feel like I really want nobody string me up to no cross. Because see, listen... People is get very in their feelings because church people, and notice I ain't calling you all Christ-centered people. I calling you all church people. You all be the most wickedest people I ever see. I be scared of y'all. I just don't even want, when people tell me they go to church, I ain't want to date them. I just be scared.
Okay.
I know I dare.
That's why I use my sister, so I don't know what you're making noise for.
I be scared because, listen, y'all think, anyway, listen, let me stay focused.
Back to the point what you were saying with the defacement of Celindon's picture, right?
You got 30 seconds.
We talk about, you know, the reason why, and I put it on my Facebook page, you know, these things, they're corporate. You can't just deface somebody's image. You can't do that. And then a national figure at that, I mean, I know they say, oh, you know, why you just can't let people live? No, you can't do that. You can't go to Walt Disney World, or you can't go anywhere in Orlando and say you want to get a picture of Mickey, Donald Duck, or any of those characters. You go there. I tried it once just to see. They was like, no. And I asked them, why is that? Because their business can be charged and shut down if they don't have proper written permission from Walt Disney World.
We agree with you.
We
agree with you, but you got to understand what young people are telling you.
What they telling? What they saying?
Care. Thank you very much, Stanley.
Say what?
They don't
Thank you
care.
Very much.
Okay,
they
don't so, care. So, but then there's a
this
penalty
a new
for
generation,
not caring.
They don't worry about penalty.
Right.
The parents always pay the penalty, not them. They don't know about penalties.
Listen, let me read some of these messages I got. Okay, good day. Just putting it out there. There's no such thing as eating healthy. There's eating sufficient calories to maintain a healthy weight. If you need to lose weight, eating a caloric deficit. Okay, then we have, okay, I tuned in late. Good stuff. Patrick's illustration about his son's job interview was great. Bart's point regarding technological advancement is spot on. How can the average concerned citizen be encouraged to get involved in various forms of national development? Okay, yeah. Wait,
That's
hold
a
on.
Good text,
hold on. Listen, you now.
Yeah.
Volunteering, supporting petitions, donating to nonprofit organizations. Okay, there. Listen. The young lady who was on the show, on the Andrew show, when she came in, when she was leaving, she gave me a flyer and she was telling me about a program. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, this sounds like something I might want to be a part of.
Read it
all kind of things. You can read it. All kind of things out here, man. Y'all, listen.
So this is case.
Wait 1 minute. In defense of the government, and both governments, in defense of both governments, mm-hmm. we have a lot. The government have a lot of things that they offer to, you know. Now, don't being asleep, see, now I got to get a good and I got to give the bad. There are lots of programs out there that people just don't take advantage of, or they take too much advantage of it.
So if you're looking for something for your children to do, right? K's Heart for Kids. We are the village in real life. Youth Empowerment Conference. Free event, lunch and school supplies included. Grades 7 to 12. Saturday, July 26, 2025, St. Agnes Church, Blue Hill Road, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Parent session is at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And there's a Bible verse for you to go and look at, too, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. What's that one? Come on, God.
Anyway,
what it is?
Listen, let me see.
What it is?
Let me read what this person said.
Paddy didn't catch on to what just happened.
Right. Let me see. This is what the person said. They say that again about many church people. A lot of these church people, they wicked. They wicked. And listen. I won't get into that. I tell you all, I don't like go talk for church because the church, I think we're going to talk about it now. Y'all, this would scare me.
Don't let them get you started. Right? No.
This is me, the jokey thing, man. The sinners, they got burned to the cross. Then the people who they know who leading them doing one big bunch of foolishness. Oh, no, he repent. You got to give him another chance. Listen, he only repent because he get fined out, mind you. But listen, the church people, y'all really
they
need to go
it
get
better
saved.
Next time.
Y'all need to go get saved. Because y'all ain't got no Jesus in y'all. Okay? Y'all ain't got no... Y'all,
man, you ending the show with that?
I'm serious. No, I got to end it on a good note, man. Because I'm serious, man. This be wicked, man. Jesus, they be wicked. Anyhow, let me end the show on a good note, okay? I also ask people, God, why are you looking like that?
Hallelujah.
That's right. Praise him.
You need the next hour.
Okay, I need sponsors. That's what I see now. Y'all ain't want me, but I need sponsors.
302.
Oh, this is a sponsor.
203. See the number. Give the people the number to sponsor your show.
I'll give them my private number, 4516767. I can put that out there. 4516767.
The last time you did that.
Sponsor. But I know, I think I'm ready to date now, though.
Ooh.
You ain't notice I lose a couple pounds. Ooh. You ain't even say it. See that? You see how you go?
Hey, the man said the mic was open. I didn't want to say too much.
You, I even look like how I did the pot.
I say you can't say these things over the mic.
You see, y'all, I throwing y'all away, man. Anyhow, I ended the show on a good note because Dwight is be listening. And then see Dwight,
Dwight, what's going on, man?
You say a couple things. I'm most thought Dwight was going message. But yeah, I need sponsors, y'all. I ain't got time to play with y'all because guess what? From your born, you're dead. So I need sponsors, 4516767. And let me tell you,
if you sponsor Tell It to Stanya, I got one heap of people on my contact list that I could actually expose to your business to. Thanks. Mm. Now, let me end this on a good note. I also asked people what they were proud of as a Bahamian. I mean, overwhelmingly, they said the culture, music, they said their ability to speak, freedom to travel between the islands, the food, that we are hospitable people, a sense of community that we have. What else we said? Hold on.
And the Coca-Cola shape, like what you got?
That's hello, China. Yeah. You see? You see? Who that is would message me? What name that say their part?
Dwight Strong.
See, y'all think I be lying when I say Dwight is be doing me in. So in other words,
Dwight was good, bro.
Dwight telling me get off the air. I see y'all. See, the people is asking me when I meet them. They say Dwight is be doing these things. But you say who name you see there? And you see Dwight, right? Okay. Anyhow, people are also proud of that. Am I still going? Professional athletes. And they are actually also proud of the political stability that we have.
VJ Edgecombe, okay? Yes, very proud.
Yes. So there's a whole lot of things that we are proud of being a Bahamian. But political people.
Be proud citizens, of the Guardian and be proud of you.
Thanks. I appreciate that so much. Yeah. You could sponsor me? Because you got a couple of business. You think you slick on this air? See how you go quiet. This is the first time you quiet all day.
She got to come with us, come listen, move some bees.
You see how you quiet now, right? Now God can't even talk now. You see that, right?
I could work on that.
You sure?
Yeah, I can work on that.
I almost believe you, but I know last time someone tell me that I get pregnant. Anyway, jeez. Listen, we out.
And on that note.
We out. See you next
thank
week.
Thank you for listening.
1 p.m. 451-6767. If you want a sponsor, tell it to Stanya.
Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.